Alvin Williams joins us on Brady and Walker. We were talking a lot yesterday, Alvin, and thanks for doing this, about the shot clock going off and how that would affect a point guard, a shooting guard, especially the front court guys. They just get the ball and go up with it when they can. But really, what would it be like? You probably never had a circumstance where you were playing without one.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important. You're just used to it. You're used to it when the clock is ticking a little bit. And sometimes it's strategy. Sometimes you run plays at certain times. And when I know when we used to play and it got below eight seconds, we would call red to make sure we went to exact play or stuff like that. So without you knowing those things, a lot of your tendencies and a lot of your habits could be thrown off a little bit.
Your impressions on game one and how it relates to game two coming up tonight, maybe specifically, Alvin, the veteran calls to veteran players. Did you think that the officials were catering to Brooklyn late in that game?
You know what? I really can't say. You have those situations where you see a lot, but like you said, those guys are very, very savvy. They're veterans. Paul and Joe, and I mean, their whole team is savvy as far as that their guard play, especially Kevin Garnett. So, you know, they know how to work the officials. They know how, and that whole game is like a strategy match. So, I'm sure they were posturing all game to try to get calls, to get moves, maneuvers, and it worked to their advantage at the end.
Alvin Williams, our guest on Brady and Walker. It had to bring back some memories, how jacked the crowd was, and it's been a long time. I don't even think the couple years they went to the playoffs with the Bosch teams here replicated the excitement that your group of Raptors brought to the city. What did Saturday remind you of from especially the 2 years, 2001 and 2002?
It reminds just the little time. It's just, you know, the outside. I got a chance to experience outside a little bit by addressing the crowd for a brief moment, but it was unbelievable. You know, the energy, and you already expect that from the Toronto fans. I mean, I've seen the energy there when we were losing. So I knew what to expect, but it's always good. Especially, I used to always talk to Kyle, and I just wanted him to experience that or get a chance to see how good the city is from that aspect. And that day was nothing short of that.
You mentioned Kyle Lowry. That's a guy that, in a lot of ways, you look back at your careers, is kind of following in your footsteps a little bit. Your thoughts on his game, his season, and what he's meant to this team as a leader?
I mean, he's coming around. I haven't been there this year, so I can't give you the locker room presence or you know, the relationship with other players and stuff. But you know, it's an indication of how successful they are. You don't have too many of those issues, internal issues, with the teammates and the coaching staff. It seems like everyone on the same page. But you know, I'm sure he's trying his best and he's doing well as far as trying to be a leader for the team on the floor. He's playing at a level of definitely one of the best guards in the NBA, point guards in the NBA right now. But the level he's playing at and that game with he and Darren Williams, it's such a physical game. I'm sure you guys have seen it too. They're beating each other up and they're going at each other like an old school playground game. So it's very exciting to see. And he's made for this. He's built for this situation and he couldn't wait for this opportunity. So I'm still looking forward to see how he responds tomorrow also.
Alvin Williams, our guest, 8 years here in Toronto, of course, in the Raptors' backcourt. We were also discussing whether the Raptors are building a rivalry with the Nets. I think it has to come through playoffs. They show that great Bad Boys documentary, the 30 for 30, and you realize what rivals. You probably had it more in college maybe than your NBA career. Villanova's got to beat Georgetown, and you got to beat Providence. Did you feel when you were playing you built a rivalry with another team, or was it just in playoff series?
It comes to the playoff series because it's really magnified, and you know that's where everything's at stake. So when you have two teams battling, and it's something where you know every game means something, every possession means something. Words are shared, and you know statements are made, and you know articles are created. So with those things being happening, and then when you have great players going at one another, it's one of those things. Like, I just remember playing the Sixers, and when we went game seven, that became something where even the upcoming season and regular season games, it was pretty a highly anticipated game, waiting for the Vince Carter matchup, waiting for the Allen Iverson matchup, and just waiting for that experience again. But, you know, it definitely comes with the playoffs.
My memory of 2002 is that with the Pistons, it was a best of five still then, and there was some debate about Were the American fans booing "Oh Canada"? Were the Canada fans booing the Star Spangled? And the players were like, "It's all Greek to us. We're just here to play." But the fans started disliking each other more than the players did.
Exactly. I remember even when we played the Knicks, and someone would say, I think it may have been Game 5 also, and they booed the Canadian national anthem, and I was pissed off. And I'm American myself, but I was pissed off because, you know, that was part of us now, and that's who we're representing. But you know, it gets really exciting, gets intense, and there's no other feeling. Trust me, it's the best feeling in the world when you get a chance to be on a big stage, high level basketball, and your fans are behind you, your opponent's fans are against you, and you get an opportunity to play well. So, I wish all these players the best, man. I wish DeMar and all these guys really can enjoy this experience.
Former Raptor Alvin Williams, our guest, heading into Game 2, everybody's excited for it. It's a big game. From what you saw in Game 1, what's the single biggest adjustment this Raptors team has to make? Was it just all about nerves in Game 1, do you think?
No, I think the Raptors didn't play poorly. They didn't play, I think it was more so Brooklyn. The matchups that Raptors have, I mean, from a fan looking and from just a former player, they have tough matchups. And Terrence Ross has a tough matchup. DeMar has a tough matchup. You know, they have experience and big perimeter players. And Sean Livingston, he's coming and he's playing phenomenally. And it's just one of those things where Raptors got a tough matchup, so they're going to have to make some adjustments on the perimeter. I don't know whether it's doubling. I don't know what the case may be, but and I think some more of the bench players for the Raptors may have to step up. John Salmons, I tell you, he would be a big part of it. Hopefully he can get his game going because he could be someone to bring the expertise and versatility on the court. But the Raptors do have a tough matchup on perimeter, but I think Game 2, they will make those adjustments and come out even more sharp.